Today we've heard that story once again, that story from our Gospels that we've heard many times, the transfiguration of the Lord. Jesus brings Peter, James, and John up the mountain with him to pray. You know, when I think of the story, I'm reminded of spring break that is coming up. It's an exciting time, of course, for many families, especially if they are traveling, like my family did growing up. For spring break, we were a family of downhill skiers, and so we'd ski during the winter the small hills here in Minnesota, but once a year we would go down to Colorado and go up into the mountains to ski them with my cousins. And you know, when we were there, I always remember that it was very beautiful on top of the mountains. You know, one could see, being so high up, how one could feel actually closer to heaven. And thus, throughout the centuries, many churches and convents and monasteries have been built on top of mountains and hills for that reason. Because you are closer to the sun, everything seems just a little bit warmer, a little bit brighter. Because of this fact, my father, on these vacations, used to always tell me and my siblings to put on lots of sunscreen on our faces, which he provided. And of course, when I was younger, I was just obedient and I did it, not really knowing why. But as I got older and I was a teenager, I started to resist this. And I remember on one occasion, my father, again, was asking us to put it on, and I didn't. And I think at that age, I didn't really like the feel of all this white stuff on my face. I could certainly understand that if we were home during the summer months on the beach, that would be necessary, but it was cold. We were up here in the mountains, so I didn't think that this was absolutely necessary. And thus, I wouldn't put it on or secretly wash it off if I did, but unfortunately, on one occasion, I remember, I still have this memory with me, that this did not turn out well at all. For halfway through one of our family vacations, my face became so badly sunburned, that I remember I had to stay in the hotel for 2 days straight, bathing my face in cold water and using all sorts of creams and ointments to alleviate the pain of the burn, and aspirin for the headache. While those that listened to my father, my cousins, my siblings, continued to go out every day and enjoy the beauty and fun that the mountains had to offer. You know, as Jesus reaches the top of the mountain today, the gospel tells us he's transfigured before his three disciples, and the glory of his divinity radiates from him in dazzling light, while Jesus sits there conversing with two of the great figures from the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. And the vision shows the apostles and us today that Jesus really is the fulfillment of all the prophets of the Old Testament and the holy laws of Israel, that he indeed is the divine Messiah that they have been waiting for. We see Peter, of course, is so overcome that he wants to make three tents for them so that they can remain up there indefinitely. But that was not the purpose of the transfiguration message. They were not only to glimpse Jesus' divinity, but they were to understand that Jesus was to complete his mission of saving us by dying for our sins and by his resurrection to open up the door to eternal life in heaven for all believers. Because they were not fully understanding the vision, we see the Father's voice break into the scene in the moment, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Please listen to him." You know, we know that wonderful things happen when we listen to Jesus in the Gospels and in our hearts. When we don't tune in and listen to him, or if we hear what he's saying to us, but we don't follow through, things don't go so well in our lives. And our misery here on earth tends to increase. Our crosses get a little heavier, and our lives become more unmanageable and filled with fear and guilt and anxiety. But the good news is, Jesus came to free us from those negative experiences. But we need to listen to him in prayer and by reading and meditating on God's word. You know, as I think back to that memory that I have, I realize that I would have saved myself so much pain if I would have just heeded my father's words on the mountain that day long ago to put the sunscreen on and lots of it. I heard him, but I didn't listen, and I certainly didn't obey. I had no idea the misery that I was bringing upon myself later on in the day. But the good news for me was my father did not abandon me. He actually stayed with me the next day to comfort me and attend to my burn despite the fact that I didn't obey him. In this way, just like God our Father in heaven, he showed his unconditional love as a father. We know that our Father in heaven, through his Son Jesus, will do the same for us. If we listen and heed his voice, which is always for our well-being and happiness, we will indeed be blessed. If we, like we're doing this Lent, continue to repent for the times that we didn't listen and obey, and we learn from our mistakes and falls, we can be sure that our loving Savior will also be there to forgive us, to heal us, and to free us from our wounds of sin and division. For it is through experiencing his love for us and his mercy, especially in prayer and in the Eucharist we celebrate, that we'll truly learn how to listen and become the joyful and loving children that our Father wants us to be.